The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. This week's Parashas Kishiso. In Kishiso, in Sheni, which is Shemais, Lamed Beis Pasuk Yud Ches. Vayiten al Meishi kechaleis ledaber itay ba'asinei shnei luchais oidus, luchais evin ksuvim ba'etz balakim. Then Hashem gave to Meishi, as he finished speaking with him on Har Sinai, this is speaking after Meishi received the Torah and Shavuos, he remained on Har Sinai for 40 days. So at the end of the 40 days, Hashem gave to Meishi the luchais evin ksuvim ba'etz balakim, and he taught him the entire Torah. Vayara om ki veishes meishel redes minohor. Vayikoela om al arein vayimre ilov kumas elonu elehim asher yilchu lefoneinu. And the nation saw that Meisha was delayed in coming down from the mountain. And they all gathered up against Aaron. And they said, let us make a god which will go in front of us. Ki ze meisha ish asher elonu meyetz mitzrayim liyadanu mehoyelei. Because this person Meisha that has taken us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. And Aaron said, go and take off all of the gold rings which are in the ears of your wives, your children, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me. So the nation took off the golden rings, Asher Boznehem, which were in their ears, by Yoviu El Aaron, and they brought it to Aaron. Vayikach miyodom, he took it from their hands, vayotzar esoi bacheret, and he put it into a fire, and he made a mold from it, vayaseo egel masecho, and he made from it a golden calf, a molten calf. Vayemru, and they said, Eile elehecho Yisrael asher he'alucho me'eretz Mitzrayim, this is your God, Israel, which has taken you up out of Egypt. Vayar Aaron, and Aaron saw, Vayiven Mizbeach Lefonov, and he built an altar in front of them. In front of it, Vayikra Aaron Vayemer, Vayimar Chag LaShem Ochor. And Aaron called out and he said, a holiday to Hashem tomorrow. Vayashkimu Memochors, and they got up the next morning, Vayalu Eilis, Vayagishu Shlomim, and they brought sacrifices. And the nation sat to eat and drink and got up to sport. And what is meant by litzachek, sport, all types of averes, all types of transgressions. Meanwhile, back in the mountain, Vaydaber Hashem el Meisha, Hashem said to Meisha, lech reid, go down, kishiches amcha asher aleisom eretz Mitzrayim, because the nation which you have brought up from Egypt is destroying itself. Very quickly they have turned off the path which they were commanded in, and they have made for themselves a molten calf. And they're bowing to it, they're sacrificing to it. And they are saying that this is the God of Israel which has taken you out of Egypt. This is your God, Israel, which has taken you out of Israel, Egypt. And Hashem said to Meisha, I have seen that this nation is a nation which is very arrogant and very stubborn. And now I will forsake them and let my anger burn against them, and I will destroy them, and I will make out of you a great nation. This is what Hashem told Moshe. So then the Torah goes on to tell us how Moshe appealed to the Almighty not to do this, and then he went down and he brought the tablets with him, and he met Yeshua at the foot of the mountain, and he heard all types of sounds, great noises come out of the camp, and he said, these are these are not noises of anais gvurve and anais chalusha. These are not noises of war. These are just noises. And when they came near the camp, they saw the egel and mechilis. They saw the calf. They saw the dancing. And Moshe became very, very angry. And Moshe threw the tablets down, broke them at the foot of the mountain. Then he took the calf and he burnt it and he ground it up into fine dust and he threw it, mixed it with water, and he threw the water on the people. Then he came and he rebuked Aaron. He said, how could you do such a thing? They came to me and they said, make a god for us, because we don't know what happened to Moshe, who's our leader. And I said to them, whoever has gold, come and bring it. And I threw it into a fire, and this calf came out. And then the Torah continues to tell us what happened. This episode of the Egel Azov, the golden calf, is one of the most tragic and disgraceful episodes in the history of Klal Yisrael. Firstly, in its own right, because they turned away from Moshe, they turned away from the Almighty, and they created for themselves an Egel Azov, a golden calf, idolatry. Secondly, because of the timing of it, if it would have happened 1,000 years after the Torah was given to them, so you could say that because of the length of time, they forgot the commandments of the Almighty. But it happened exactly 40 days after Torah was given. And 40 days after they heard on Har Sinai, Anechi Hashem Alekecho, Lo Yeloch Elohim Acherim, I am the Lord your God, you shall not make other gods. And they saw the great wonders that took place at Har Sinai, at Mount Sinai. And this was the highest point of history in Klal Yisrael. And it was only the receiving of the Torah was only 50 days after going out of Egypt, when they saw all the miracles of Egypt, the 10 plagues, the splitting of the sea. And while Moshe is still on the mountain, speaking to the Almighty, and receiving the Torah, here they went, and they made the golden calf. The Chazal, the sages, refer to this, they give an example, as Zinsinsa Besechu Posse, as a kala that would commit adultery during the time of the chuppah, right during the days of the wedding celebration. And the suffering was great, from the punishment was great. Many, many were killed because of this hate. And the Chazal tell us that Ein Lo Chopronies, there is no punishment that comes onto Klal Yisrael all during the ages, that the Almighty will not also collect for this, because he said that if he will collect the entire punishment, then Cholila, heaven forbid, Klal Yisrael would be destroyed. So therefore he'll collect little by little. And therefore there's not a punishment that comes on Klal Yisrael all during the ages, which doesn't have a little of the pronius of the eagle also. What makes this very difficult to understand is how could Klal Yisrael come to such an aveira at such a time. Now, if we read between the lines and we go into the parsha with a little more depth, in accordance to what the sages interpret for us, we will justify a bit what took place. But still, it's impossible to justify the entire act. Now the Chazal tell us what caused the turn of events was the fact that Moshe told the people he'll be back in 40 days. So they counted 40 days from the time he went up to the mountain. And Moshe had manned 40 complete days. Days and nights. And therefore the day that Moshe went up on the mountain, which he went in the morning, was not to be counted. This day made an error in. So according to their calculation, they were a day before. And on that day when he didn't come, they panicked. All right, that was the toast. That was the error. That's one fact. A second fact, really, Klal Yisrael themselves did not panic. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe on the mountain, go down, Lech ki shiches amcho, because your nation is destroying themselves. So he didn't say my nation, but he said your nation. Lech shiches amcho, your nation is destroying themselves. Why your nation? The Torah tells us that when Moshe came out of when Israel came out of Egypt, eight of Rav Olu Imohim, there was a great multitude of Egyptians, of other peoples that went with them. Because when they saw the great success of Israel, they decided they're going to put their stake with them and they'll go with them. And they were Megayim. They converted. They became part of Israel. Moshe gladly accepted them because he thought that this was Kfeit Shemayim, this was an honor to heaven. The Almighty wasn't that happy with them because it states, Ein Mekablin Gerim L'Yemes HaMashiach. When the time of the Mashiach will come, we will not accept any more converts. Because someone that comes to join Klal Yisrael, he has to join Klal Yisrael not because Yisrael is so successful and everything good happens to them, but he has to join them because he believes in the Almighty and he has a love of his Torah and his people regardless of what the consequences might be. And in the days of the Mashiach, when there will be so many wonderful things happening, these will not be Geri Emes, these will not be people that are coming to want to be Megayer for the proper reasons. The same thing as it was when they went out of Egypt. Why shouldn't someone want to be a Jew when you see the tremendous miracles and the tremendous downfall of Egypt? So therefore the Almighty wasn't happy. And he also was disappointed from the fact that Moshe did not come to discuss this with him first. Therefore he referred to these people as your nation, not mine, yours. And it was these people that when they came to the crunch, they couldn't withstand the pressure. When Moshe didn't come back, and this was a cause for the panic. Why? Because they were in the desert. They were in the middle of a desert. And there was no water. There was no bread. And they were surrounded by hostile enemies. And it was only through the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu that they were surviving. And all of a sudden, when he was lost, so there was panic. But Israel themselves, they would have withstood the panic. But the Eir of Rav, the multitude of people that came along and were not true Israelim, and they were not true Gerim, they were not true converts either, they buckled under the pressure. And when they panicked, they caused the rest to panic. Once, this is a principle that we have in war, that once part of the machne, part of the camp panics, that causes the rest to panic. That's why the mitzvah is that when you go out to war, so anyone who cannot withstand such pressure is not allowed to go. And at the time of war, no one is allowed to retreat. If someone retreats, he's guilty of even capital punishment because he brings danger upon the whole army. Because once some panic, this causes panic in others. So that's why the Almighty said, Lake Shicha is Amcha, your nation is destroying themselves. And this is why also it uses the terminology Eilele Hecho Yisrael. They said, this is your God. See? And they pointed to Klal Yisrael. All right, so this is a second fact, that the initiators of this were the Eid of Rav, the multitudes of people. Then there was another fact also. The Sotan. The Sotan is the force. The Torah tells us that there's a force in the world called the Sotan. And actually, the Gemara tells us the Sotan and the Yetzer Hara and the Malach HaMavis, the force of evil in man, and the angel of death, are all united. The Sotan jumped in. He utilized and exploited the opportunity for his best purposes. Firstly, he created all types of clouds in the sky and thunder and whatnot. And then they thought that they saw an image of Moshe floating in the sky. And from here they thought for sure he was dead. This created more panic. And he helped the situation go further. Now, Aaron, he saw what was happening. He naturally wanted to stop them. It says, Vayar Aaron, and Aaron saw. So the Chazal said, what did he see? He saw many things. Firstly, he saw that it was impossible to stop them anymore, because Hur, who was the son of Miriam, that was his nephew, tried to stop them, and they killed him. It had gotten that out of hand, much out of hand. So now he saw that it was past the stage of negotiation. So he'll have to use some tactics. See, he said, bring me gold, and I will build a Mizbeach, and Chag Lashem L'mochor, and tomorrow you'll have a holiday for your golden calf. So first he said, bring me gold. So he said, take the gold off the ears of your wives and your daughters and your sons, because he felt that they'll never give him the gold. So this was a tactic that he used. Then he said, I will build the altar, because if you'll build it, many people can build an altar in a short time. If I'll build it, I'll take a long time. He knew Moshe would return tomorrow, and by that time he would stall for time. And then he said, Chag Lashem L'mochor, and he meant that tomorrow will be a real Yantif. Moshe will be back. It won't be a Yantif for idolatry, it'll be a Yantif to Hashem. Moshe will be back. But instead what happened, that they were so heated up over this, that they went and they took the gold from themselves. They didn't go and ask their wives and their daughters and their sons. They took it from themselves. And then, when Aaron took the gold and he threw it into the fire, an eagle went out by itself. A calf came out by itself. This was the help of Kishuf and the Sotan. There was sorcery. Amongst the eight of Rav, these multitudes, they were Egyptians. And the Egyptians, like we learned in Sefer Shemais, were the experts of sorcery in the world. So through sorcery, and again with the help of the Sotan, they created a calf, and it was even a calf that had life in it. All of this kept snowballing and picking up more speed all of the time, until finally Aaron saw he could do no more. So this gives us a little background into what took place, and we see it wasn't so simple. But at the same time, it still cannot justify how could Klal Yisrael go along with this immediately after the Torah was given. question, this question is asked by the Maral in a Sefer Netzach Yisrael, Perek Beis. And he gives two answers to this. We said that the timing here is very strange, because Israel came to a tremendously high level. The fact is that they came to the highest level that man ever came to. It states a pasuk in the Tehillim, in the Shir Shel Yom, that we say on Yom Shlishi, on Tuesday, Ani omarti elikim atem uvenei elyein kulchem. Achein ke'odem temusum ukeachad hasorim tipolu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I have said that you were elikim, you were like angels. You were like gods. Ubenei elyein kulchem. You were all like people who lived in a world much higher than this earthly world, the spiritual world. But I made a mistake. Achein ke'odem temusum. You shall die like all other men. And like a human prince, you shall fall. This means that the original plan was that at the time of Matan Torah, of giving of the Torah, Israel came to such a high level that they returned to the level of Adam Arishon, of the first man, before the Chet, before he committed the transgression. To Adam Arishon, to the first man, when he lived in Gan Eden. And at that time, man was supposed to live forever. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Amarti, I said, that Elikim Atem, Uvnei Elyein Kulchem, that you have freed yourself from the shackles of the earthly world. Not totally, but to a great extent. And you have purified yourselves, and you'll live forever. But now I see after what took place, so then you're still a man, and Ochein Odom Tabusun, you shall die like a man, Ukachara Sorim Tipolu, and you'll fall like one of the princes. So Israel was to come to the level of Tahara, of a purification, and of a perfection at this point. So we're not only dealing at a high time, we're dealing at perhaps the highest time in the history of Klal Yisrael. Perhaps the only other time that could compare to this would be when HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave them and gave them the second tablets. Now, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Sukkah and Daf Nun Beis, the Gemara is going through a whole discussion, a whole sugya, of the Yetzer Hara, of the evil force that's found in man. And the Gemara tells us in Nun Beis, Seif Omar Aleph, Omar Abaya ubitalmide chachomim yeser mikulam. Abaya says that this evil force that man is born with, this force that drives him to do things that are not right, this force is greater in Talmidei Chachomim, in people who are great in Torah, Torah scholars. And then the Gemara tells us, Ubi Yisrael Yesem Mikulam. That the Yetzer Hara is found by Israel, by the nation of Israel, more than any other nation. Now why should this be? It should be just the opposite. The answer is, it's two reasons. Just like we find physical forces in the world, the higher a person physically strives the greater the force against him. For example, you have forces, physical forces such as gravity. A person will try to go up in the air, there'll be a force against him. The higher he'll go, the greater that force against him. So is it in the spiritual world. The Almighty created counterbalances. If there's a force for good, then there's a counter force for evil. The greater the force for good, the greater the counter force for evil. And therefore, the higher a person will strive, the greater the counter force will be for evil, the greater the power of the Yetzer Hara. That's why, B'Yisrael Yeshem B'Kulam, that the Yetzer Hara will be greater by Israel more than any other nation. And Kol HaGodl Mechaveiru Yitzra Godl Meimenu B'Talmud Chochem Yeshem B'Kulam, the Gemara says the greater the person, the greater the Yetzer Hara against him. And in the Talmidei Chachomim, the Torah sages more than everyone. A second reasoning, which in many ways is similar to the first, and that is, this Yetzer Hara, this force, attaches itself to imperfections. Wherever there are imperfections, this is where it attaches itself. Where something is perfect, then it has no shlita, it has no power, it has no influence. Only to imperfections. Someone who works at a very low level, it's much easier to gain perfection there than at a higher level. People who do not try to do great things, they can succeed at what they're doing much easier than people who strive to do great things. For example, if you get a laborer that's making something out of bricks, or making something out of clay, it's much easier for him to attain success and perfection than if you get a person who's working in computers or on spacecraft or someone who is composing symphony music or someone who's painting. To attain perfection, he gives an example. We see the same thing with the physical parts of the body. The hand almost all the time is accurate. What you want to put your hand or what you want your hand to do, it will do. The eye very seldom will deceive you. Once in a while, but most of the time what you see is what you see, is there. But when it comes to the mind, how many times are we in error? Because the hand is working at a more basic level, a more elementary level, so it's easier to attain perfection. The eye is working at a higher level. But still, it's not that high of a level as the mind. The human mind is going already at an astronomical level. There it's very difficult to attain perfection. And if this force of evil that the Almighty put into the creation attaches itself to imperfections, to shortcomings, so then it'll have greater success at higher levels than at lower levels. Therefore, by the nations of the world that do not strive for tremendous spiritual levels, they are more successful in the perfection of their level than Israel that's striving for astronomical levels. Therefore, the Yetzer Hara will be greater by Klal Yisrael than by other nations. So in other words, what we're saying is, it's not like we posed in the question. We said the most difficult part of this question was, is how is it possible, right at the time of the giving of the Torah, at the time when Klal Yisrael came to its highest level, there they fell into the hands of the Yetzer Hara to go serve idolatry and to turn against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Alright, it's true, we gave reasons why they might have done this, but still they did it. The question really is the answer. It might not have happened at another time. It happened dafke specifically at this time. Because at this time, they had striven to reach greater heights than were ever reached before. They were striving to reach the heights of Torah. It was the first time Torah was coming into the world. It was called the 50th level, the Shara Hamishim, after the going out of Egypt. It was the first time that it states, Vayered Hashem b'Sinai, that Hashem came down into this world to bring His Torah. And Vayal Meshe, Meshe went up. And they were striving for the heights of Odom Arishon, of the first man, before the hate, the transgression of the serpent, which was the level of Gan Eden. So first of all, it's like a man climbing into space. The higher he climbs, at least it, when he's still within the natural forces of gravity, the greater the force against him. So there were tremendous forces of Ra, of evil, working against Klal Yisrael. Secondly, they were striving for a level which, even had they attained it, would have been very, very difficult to attain a perfection, a complete perfection. So if there was something lacking, this gave more place for the Yetzer Hara to attach itself to. So in other words, at this time, they had the greatest forces in the world working against them. This is why we find that they fell. They still wouldn't have fallen had it not been for all of these other involvements and facts that we explained. But given all of the other facts, they had arrived, the multitude of people and the panic and the Sotan and everything else that came in, and together what they were trying to strive for, this is why they fell. In other words, you take a person that doesn't climb mountains, see, he doesn't fall so much. Someone who tries to climb mountains, it's not a surprise that he falls. And this is what the Gemara means, Kol HaGodol Yitzre Godol HeMena, whoever is greater. So the force of the Yetzer Hara is greater in him. Ubi Yisrael Yeshem Mikulam. The Yetzer Hara leaves the other nations and goes after Yisrael. Ubi Talmud Chochem Yeshem Mikulam. And when it comes to Talmud Chochem, who's at that height, there, that's greater than all. Now, from here we see there's a force of evil in the world. It's very important, that people must recognize and they must realize what they are up against. Very nice to say, like some people want to say, that I don't believe in it. This business of forces of evil, Yetzer Hara, Malachim Oves, Satan, I don't believe in it. Well, that's like a person that will go through the world with his eyes closed. And unfortunately, heaven forbid, he might confront tragedy. It's impossible for a person to duel with his Yetzer Hara successfully, and no one is free of this, as long as he is alive in this world, without first recognizing that there is a Yetzer Hara and the potential power of it. That's the first thing he must do. So let's see, in the short time that we have, some of the things that the Chazal tell us about the Yetzer Hara. There's a pasuk in Bereishis, Bereishis Ches. that after the flood, the great flood, Vayorach Hashem es reach anichayach vayimei Hashem alibay. And Hashem dried up all of the waters, and Neach came and made sacrifices to him. And Hashem said, Le'esif lekala edes adomo, I will no longer curse the world, the earth in this way. Bavura odom, because of man. Ki yetze leva odom ramin uraf. Because the creation of man, man's heart, is ra min urav, has evil in it, min urav, from his youngest days. And therefore, I cannot hold it against man that every time he does something wrong, I'll destroy a world. Because man's heart has ra, has evil in it, min urav, from his days of his youth. Therefore, I must be a little more flexible, a little more forgiving, and not be medactic so much, not be so exacting. And therefore, old kol yemei ha'aretz, I take a vow that for the rest of the days of the earth, zera v'kotze v'kov v'chaim v'chayev v'yim v'layla le'ish beisu, that I will never again cease, bring a cessation to the cycle of life on the world. This is what Hashem said. So Hashem came to the recognition that man had fallen from the level where he cannot be perfect with his Yetzer Hara. So therefore he's going to have to be a little more flexible with him. What does it mean, ki Yetzer Leva Odom Ramin Urav, that the evil in his heart is there from Urav, from his youngest days? So Rashi brings from Chazal, it's not written min urav in the Torah. It's actually written min orav. Mishaninar. Min orav means from his first movement. Mishaninar lot says mime imay niten be yetzohora. From his first movement, when he first moves, that's when the yetzohora, this force, comes into man. When does he first move? As soon as he moves out of the womb of the mother. The minute he moves out of the womb of the mother, and he comes into the light of day, immediately then the force of evil goes into him. This is why Shlema HaMelech, King Solomon, always referred to the Yetzer Hara as a Melech Zokin. He always called the Yetzer Hara in Kehelas a Melech Zokin, an old king. Why did he call him an old king? So the Chazal says, because he's older than the Yetzer Tov. Man has an evil force in him, and he has a good force in him. The good force does not come into him until he has das, until he has understanding, when he's 13, when he's an adult. The evil force comes in the minute he is born. So therefore the Yetzer Hara is older than the Yetzer Tov. That's why Shlema HaMelech, King Solomon, always referred to the Yetzer Hara as a Melech Zokin, as an old king. It's very interesting. Very interesting, if you've ever noticed. I'll give you an example. We build fences around our swimming pools to protect children. When you make a fence around a swimming pool, generally, it's not a solid fence. See? There are plenty holes in the fence, space between the bars, but a child cannot crawl through. But cats and dogs and all types of pets walk right through. So one time it should occur to a person, right? You're protecting your children, good. Say, why don't you worry about protecting the pets also? You have little pups, little kittens, they crawl right through. See? So the answer is, if you ever watch them, you'll see they don't need protection. They'll go as far as the pool, and that's as far as they'll go. You try to convince him to go in, you'll have a very, very difficult time. Children, not that way. Children will go to the pool, and heaven forbid, if there's no one there, they'll go right in. Now what I'm telling you is the Zayir HaKodesh. The Zayir says, on this pasuk, it says, Tovach Hazi Golnuk, an animal is born, immediately after he's born, If you'll put him next to a fire, he'll run away from it. A child is born. If you put the child next to the fire, he'll stick his hand in it. Why? It says, because Yetzer Leva Odom Raminu Urav. Because the evil force was given to man, only to man, at the time of his birth. And there's a force in man that wants to destroy him. And this force was given to man, it was not given to animals or any other creations. And therefore a child, put him next to a fire, he'll put his hand in it. Try to convince an animal to stick his paw into the fire. No matter how old the animal is. Then the Gemara tells us. Gemara tells us in Sukkah. Gemara says many things here in Masechta Sukkah and Nun Beis, Oman Aleph and Oman Beis, but just to quote a few things. Gemara says, Omer of Yitzchok, Yitzrei Shalodim Mizgaber Olam B'chol Yayim. Rabbi Yitzchok said that this force that's in man is Mizgaber, gathers more strength every day. He has a great ambition. Not like man. Man many times gets tired. Stops growing. Yetzer Hara grows every day. Every day he comes with new tactics, with new strategy against man. Sinemar, as it states, Rak Ra Kol Hayom, states that he is evil all of the day, every day. What does he want from man? What does he want? Omer Shimon Lokish says, Yitzer Shalodim is Gaber Olam B'chol Yom Umevakeish Lahamisoy. What does he want? He wants total destruction. Every day he comes with new strategy, new tactics to destroy man, to destroy their master that he was put into. This is what he wants. This people must recognize. People don't want to recognize it. They say, no, everything will be all right. See, you can do what you want, or you can leave your children do what they want. You can just give them everything they want, use psychology on them, whatever you want. It'll be all right. Today we're living in a generation where we see before our eyes the Yetzer Hara at work. That every day, the Gemara says, Yetzer Hara comes with new tactics. What does he want? He wants to destroy the master that he was put into. And if he's allowed to, he will. Like we see today. He'll convince a person to eat foods that will make him sick. He'll convince a person to do things that will bring heart attacks on him. Or Rachmana Litzman, hypertension, or cancer, or nervous breakdowns. Convince people to smoke after all the reports that come out. He'll convince people to take drugs because it's a good kick, it's good for them, even though it will blow their brains out. He'll convince people to do everything that will eventually destroy them, or even self-destruction. This is his job. Then the Gemara says he is so clever and he is so strong and forceful. If not for the Almighty, a person will never be able to stand up against him. That a person can survive is only with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help. But the person cannot always rely that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do all of the work for him. Not all the time will HaKadosh Baruch Hu take everything on his own shoulders. Then the Gemara brings Omer B'Yenison. Omer B'Shmul Bar Nachmeni, Omer B'Yenison, Yetzora Meisisa La'odem Le'ilam Hazeh, Umeid Olav Le'ilam Abo. The Yetzora will come and will persuade a person in this world to do something wrong and tell him how good it is. Okay. Eat this, it's good for you, you'll enjoy it. Do this, it's tremendous enjoyment. Taste this, it's tremendous enjoyment. Okay. He'll come and he'll persuade a person to partake from fruits in this world, which he's not allowed to, convincing him how good it is, and then in the world to come, it will be the same Yetzer Hara that will stand and testify against him. Will testify against him for what he's done. Then the Gemara brings Shiva Shemais Yesh Leili Yetzer Hara. There are seven names that the Yetzer Hara has. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Karo Ra. The Almighty called him Ra, evil. As it states from the Pasuk we quoted, Ki Yetzer Lev Odom Ra Min Urav. Meisha Kora Oro. Meisha referred to the Yetzer Hara as Oral, the uncircumcised one. As it states that he said, Umaltem Es Oras Levavchem. The Torah will circumcise your hearts, your uncircumcised hearts. David kore tome. David, now each one saw the Yetzer Hara as a different type of a force. David called the Yetzer Hara tome, the impure one. As he states, Leif Tor Boralikim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a heart of purity after many years of tremendous work, David made his heart pure. He had seen in the Yetzer Hara this impurity. Shlomo, King Solomon, called him Seinei, the hated one. Imrov sonacho, hachilehu lechem, vimtzome hashkeu mai. If the hated one, your hated friend, is hungry, feed him bread. He was referring to the bread of Torah. If he's thirsty, give him the water of Torah. And that way you will destroy it. Yeshayahu koru michshol. Yeshayahu called him an obstacle. As it states, Sulu sulu ponu derech horimu michshol miderech ami. Yecheskel called him an evan, a stone. Vahasiresias leva evan bipsarchem, venosati lochem leiv bosor. Yoel koru tzfeni. Yoel called him the tzfoni, which meant the one that's concealed. Because he's concealed in a person's heart. So they gave seven names to the Yetzer Hara, which means there were seven different dimensions and facets to this power. If this force is so strong and he's in the world, we can ask a question, what did the Almighty put him here for? What do we need him for? This, the Gemara brings here in Sukkah. Omar Rabin Baravacho, Amri Beirav, Dalet HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mischaret Alehen Sheborim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created four things in the world, and he has remorse over the fact that he created them. Kazdim Yetzohore Yishmael Begolus. The four things were the people of Kazdim, the people of Yishmael, the exile, and Yetzohore. Now, so we see the Yetzohore is something that the Almighty created, but he has remorse that he created him. What does this mean? As Marab brings in his Nesiva Keach HaYetzohore, Perek Dalet, in the Medrash Rabbah, Perek Tes, it states, "Vayar Elokim es kol asher oso, v'hinei tov me'od." After the creation of the world, after the 7 days, the 6 days of the creation, the Almighty said, it says that the Almighty saw everything that he created, and he said it was very good. Not only was it good, but it was very good. So the Medrash says, "Tov, it was good." This refers to the force of good that is in man, the conscience that was given to man. told me, Ode, it's very good. Zeyetzohora. This refers to the force of evil that was given to man. In other words, the force of evil that was placed in man that the Almighty created during the 6 days of creation, that he called, told me, oh, that's very good. The force of good, the natural good that's in man, that he called good. In other words, he called the Yetzirah, the evil force, he saw a greater potential in that than the Yetzer Tov. So the Medrash asks, Ismor, how could you say such a thing? Here we said that it's called seven names, every possible name in the book. And the Almighty is calling it Tov Miot, so good. So the Medrash says, yes, it's good. Why? She'ilula Yetzirah, because if a person won't have a Yetzirah, Lebono Odom Vais, no man would build a house. He would have no ambition. He wouldn't be materialistic at all. So he wouldn't be interested in living in a house. Vlahelit Bonim, he wouldn't get married. He'd have no interest in a wife. He wouldn't have children. Vlainosa Venosa, there would be no business or society or civilization in the world where it would be based on commerce. There'd be no commerce in the world. Why does a man go into commerce? Because he has a Yetzirah, he wants to make some money. It's because of the Yetzirah, he wants to make some money. So he becomes tremendously creative and he contributes to society. So we have commerce in the world. Society could not exist without commerce. If you had no Yetzirah, go to the, I know in the States we call it the Bowery. There they have a section, a large section, where you have thousands of people. These are people who have lost their ambition totally. They've lost their ambition. They're not interested in commerce, and they're not interested in marriage, and they're not interested in children. They're not interested in homes. So they become drifters. This is what the world would be. V'chein shleimo oma v'ru'isi asakol ki hukinas ish merehu. Shlema Melech in his wisdom, King Solomon said that I see that what makes the world move, what makes society move in the world, is kinas ishmerehu, greed. Because one man has greed over his fellow man, this is why he gets up in the morning. Otherwise he wouldn't get out of bed in the morning. Because he has greed, that he wants to get ahead of his fellow man, or he wants something that his fellow man has, this is why he gets out of bed. This is what Shlomo HaMelech said. Re'isi Sakol. King Solomon saw everything. He saw everything. He tasted everything. And he says, I've seen everything. Ki hu kinas ish mere'ehu. What makes the world move is because one man has envy from another. This is what he said in another place, Akesim Yanes Akol. Money is the final answer. It was once mentioned here by a great financier that he says all of these principles for the stock markets, international trade, he says, throw them out. He says there's only two principles that move the whole stock market. He says that's fear and greed. That's the only two principles. Yeah? This is Shlomo HaMelech was saying. These are the principles. There are no other principles. And that's the Yetzer Hara that moves the world. And therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and the world had to move, it had to keep moving. So he said, Yetzer Tov, that's the Yetzer Tov. Tov Me'od, that's the Yetzer Hara. There's a second reason also. Did the Chazal tell us, without the Yetzer Hara, man could never come to any level. Because the whole purpose of this world was to bring man into a situation where he has shnei drochim lefonav. He has two ways in front of him, a way of good and a way of evil. Ubachar to bachayim. And the Almighty said, choose what is good. And if you choose what is good, I will reward you. And how could he give reward to any man if the person didn't have a choice?
there was no force of evil in the world, then a person would have no choice. The power of choice wouldn't be there. There'd be no temptation. There'd be no desire. And only through this choice can man come to great heights. So there's another reason why it's Tov Me'od. That through the Yetzer Hara in the world, man comes to heights that he could never reach before. And this is the, we've spoken on this many times, this is the cornerstone, the Rambam calls this the cornerstone of the entire world, of the entire Torah. The reason why the Almighty is sorry that he created it, it says, and he's remorse that he created it, that's if it's taken in its by itself. If it's taken by itself, it's not good. But as a facet of the world, and as a facet of man, it's Tov Me'od. So one must recognize both. He first of all must recognize that there's such a force in the world. Secondly, he must recognize how great this force is. But thirdly, he must recognize how good this force is. That it's here ultimately for the good of people. And therefore it has to be dealt with. A man must constantly deal with his Yetzer Hara. There's never a day. Like the Gemara says, Bechol Yayim V'Yayim, every day the Yetzer Hara gets up. Even if man chooses to sleep a little later, Yetzer Hara is up every day early, thinking up of new ideas. New ideas. How to destroy a man. How to make him fall. So a person has to be on his toes. There's two ways that a person can deal with the Yetzer Hara. The Chazal tell us. First of all, they tell us, do not flaunt, do not flirt with your Yetzer Hara. Have respect for it. Have great respect for it. And therefore, in the first Mishnah in Masechta Ovis, first Mishnah, it states, Asu Sigl Torah, that the Chachomim made a protection around the Torah to protect people, because they were aware of the human weaknesses of people. And the Gaon brings that we see, brings from a Medrash, that we see that the Torah itself made protections. For example, so the Medrash cites three places. By Nozir, the Nazarite, there he took a vow that he won't drink wine. So the Torah tells him, Kol Mishras, anything that's made from wine, or even from the grape, or even from the vine of the grape, he's not allowed to take from. Why? Asu Sigla Torah Harchoka. Stay far away. Because if you'll come to the grape, then he's going to have to grapple with his Yetzer Hara in regards to the wine. If you won't come to the grape, you won't have to worry about the wine. And then when it comes to the, when it came to the forbidden marriages or forbidden unions, in two places it states, Le sikrvu, le galeservosa. Not only you shall not have a physical relationship which is forbidden, but you must not even come close also. So from here we learn that the Torah is protecting one. Asu Sigla Torah. Don't place yourself in a position where you'll have to duel with the Yetzer Hara, because it's a very great adversary. Keep far from it. That's one Eitzah that's given from the Chazal. And a second Eitzah that's given from the Chazal. This the Gemara in Avodah Zarah brings. Actually, it's several Gemaras, but what? In various different languages, but the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Hei Amud Beis Ashreyam Yisrael Vizman Shehem Eiskim Betore Gemilas Chasodim Yitzrayim Moser B'Yodam. How fortunate is Israel when they are studying Torah and they do chesed and they do acts of kindliness, then they are the masters over the Yetzer Hara. V'lehem Mesurim B'Yad Yitzrayim. And not they are given over to the Yetzer Hara. When they're not studying Torah and when they're not doing acts of kindliness, then they are in the hands of the Yetzer Hara. When they are studying Torah and they're doing chesed, then they are the masters of the Yetzer Hara. And the reason for this, we don't have time to go into length, but the Maral goes into this in Perek Aleph of Keach HaYetzer. He says, because the Torah is called Tov, good. And chesed, when you do acts of kindliness, this is good. And this is just contrary to the Yetzer Hara, which is Ra. And therefore, when someone attaches himself to the source of good, this totally neutralizes the power of the Yetzer Hara. Let's conclude with the Rambam. And all of this is very relevant, especially all the time. All the time it's relevant. But in our generation in particular, when we see what's happening, we see what's happening to people, what's happening to society, what's happening to human lives. We see total destruction, and not only destruction, it's self-destruction. It's the self-destruction of society and human lives. The Rambam brings, at the end of Hilchos Isuri Bia, Perechov Beis, Omru Chachomim, the Chazal say, the sages say, Gezel Varayis Nafshi Shalod Misavel Lohen Umacham Doson. When it comes to Gezel, theft of money, to take money which is not legally yours in one way or the other, or Arayis, forbidden sexual unions, these are two things which the heart of a person has tremendous desire for. And these are two things that the Yetzer Hara works very hard at. The Ein Ato Meitzi Kohol Bechol Zman Uzman She'ein Ben Prutzin Ba'arayis U'Bias Asuris. You don't find a community during any time when you will not have indulgence in these things. V'yayid Omru Chachomim, and the Chachomim said, Reiv Begezel, many, many people are tripped up when it comes to taking money that's not legally theirs. Miut barayis. Some people are even tripped up when it comes to indulgence in physical unions that they're not allowed. Bahakol bi avak loshon hora. And everyone is tripped up when it comes to speaking loshon hora, not real loshon hora, but an insinuation of loshon hora. Lefichoch roi leilo odom. Therefore, a person has to work on these things in particular against the Yetzer Hara. And a person has to work very hard that he should work at sanctifying himself and work with Machshava Tahora, with his mind and his das, to keep himself free from this. Now, here he brings in what we said, Siyug Torah. That a person must be very careful of yichud. Shu'ageira magodl. Yichud is that the Chazal said that a person is not supposed to be in a private place alone with a woman that's forbidden to him. Even though a person might say, well, what am I doing wrong? All right, he's doing nothing wrong. But then he's going to have to duel with his Yetzer Hara. And results are tragic. See, results are tragic. This is the great cause for so many downfalls. Even the great sages who used to want to impress on their disciples how great the Yetzer Hara is, The Mishnah says, Al tamin bi'atzmecha. Person must never trust himself. That's the reason, because he's dealing with this force. So they used to tell their Talmidim, Izarabi bimnei biti, Izarabi bimnei kalosi. That you should even caution me that I should not be, this is what they used to tell their disciples, you should caution me that I should not be alone too much, even with my daughter or my daughter-in-law. In order to teach their disciples that they should not be ashamed of this, and they should be very careful of this. Now people say, nah, it's not necessary. But today we live in a time, when if you would only know, I as a rabbi, people come for counseling. If you would only know how many marriages and how many homes and how many orphans are created forever, right, from this. And therefore, the Rambam says, a person must be very careful of these things and other such things that cause this. For example, folly or drunkenness, so forth, such parties and so on. Then he brings, now till now he was speaking on the Siyug LaTorah, on removing from yourself temptation. Now he brings the second Eitzah. Gedolim, he calls us, greater than even that, than removing temptation, Omru, Yifna Atzma Machshavta L'Divrei Torah. Put your mind and your heart into Torah. V'yarchiv Daiti B'Chochmah. Put your mind in the wisdom of Torah. Shein machsheva sarayz misgaberes ela b'leiv ponui min hachochma. The Yetzer only has a influence in a vacuum. Where there's an empty mind and an empty heart from Torah, that's where the Yetzer has its influence. U'bechochmu hu eimer. When a person fills his heart with Torah, so Shlema HaMelech said on Torah, ayeles ha'ovim v'yales chein. Then he fills his heart with the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When his heart is filled with the love of the Almighty, then it's impossible that the Yetzer Hara should have room to have influence. But when a person's heart and mind is empty from Torah, then the Yetzer Hara comes and can take influence. He can come and influence and take control. And from there, one tragedy after another can happen. So this we see from Degel Azov, that the greatest tragedy in the history of Klal Yisrael came because of the Atzis Asot. And therefore we must constantly remember, first of all we have to realize that this is a force in the world. Those people that don't want to realize it, unfortunately, they're forced to eat the fruits of their own hands, like we see in our generation today. Go to the institutions, go to hospitals, go to sanatoriums, go to cemeteries, you'll see the fruits. That's the first thing. We must realize there's such a force in the world. And secondly, we must have respect for it, because it's a very formidable opponent. And listen to the sages on how to deal with it. Now, thirdly, we must realize that it was put in this world for good. Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't say it was good, he said it was very good. It was put in this world for good. Therefore, it must be utilized. Right? And dealt with and utilized. And then a person can come in Yetz Hashem to great levels in Torah and Mitzvah.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085 and via post at PO Box 66226 Broadway 2020 Johannesburg, South Africa.